It's a fascinating pasuk in Parshas Vayakhel. V'yasa sekir nechoshes veis kano nechoshes. So as they're making the different kalim of the Mishkan, so they make the kior, which is this large container which holds water, which for the purpose of that was for the purpose of the kahanim washing their hands and their feet before they do the avodah kiddushin arba raglayim. So there was a kior, there was a kan, there was a cane, there was a base which they're both made out of mirror, out of nechoshes, from maros hatzoba'os, with the mirrors of the tzoba'os asher tzavu pesach ha'moed. So those words are not very clear what they mean, but we know that tzva is a tzava, right? Is a unit, a group. So the women which were tzavos, which gathered pesach ha'moed. Okay, so. So Rashi, on the next page, is Rashi, says Moshe Rabbeinu at first was quite uncomfortable to say the language of some of the different chazals which say this, say it over a very strong language. Moshe Rabbeinu almost was like angry at them. He yelled at them, like, "What are you thinking?" So Rashi says, the Maris is service. Benoist is all high, but beyond the Maris, Shoras Ben Kashem is Kashas. They have mirrors, which they use when they would make themselves look beautiful, and they would adorn themselves. They would use the mirrors to look, come out looking nice. Even these things, the women came and offered for the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu was repulsed by them. These are used to agitate, to seduce, to facilitate the etzar. Amla Kosh Baruch Hu Kabel. Rashi says, "No, I want you to accept them. Ki elu chavim alai minakol. These are the most value, these are the most precious things that there are." So that's quite a lotion, right? Rashi Rabbeinu thinks that they're mias, and Rashi says they're the most chavim, they're the most dear of all of them. That through these mirrors, the women were able to produce the generations in Mitzrayim. The husbands were worn out from the Vodas Perak. So they went out, the wives went out to greet the husbands. They took their mirrors. They would look together in the mirror together. They aroused a desire in the husbands, and that was what allowed the husbands to have relations with the wife. And they gave birth, and that shot these are the maras at service, the maras, the mirrors which created the tzivos of Klal Yisrael. So why were the chavivim in a call? So they were dear to Kodesh Baruch Hu because they generated a Klal Yisrael. It seems to me that that would be like one layer of the answer, but the fact that the Chavivus Min HaKol is quite a statement. Okay, take a look at the Targum, we have our Masar of the Targum. Vavad Yos Kiyar the Nechasha, Yos Pesisei the Nechasha. He made the Kiyar and its base, and it's out of copper. Bemechzi Yos Neshaya, in the mirrors of the woman. The Osyon Litzaloa Bisobam Ashkenazim, that they came to pray by the Pesach HaMoed. So, Asher Tzavu is understanding the language of prayer. So, like, what does mirror have to do with the. So, the women who came to pray had mirrors. Like, what's the connection between praying and the mirrors? Excuse me.
You check its filling.
Right, so they.
That's Russian.
there's a Gemara in the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that we have there's an issue of the Torah of Lasilbush Gabra Simlasi Shah. A man cannot wear a woman's garments. So the Targum over there says that it doesn't just mean a man can't wear a woman's garments, but a man cannot in any way adorn himself the way a woman does. And the same thing vice versa for a woman, and that's what the question comes up about a woman wearing weaponry, a woman wearing tefillin, a man, and the Gemara says that a zara means a man shouldn't be using a mirror, because mirrors are made for women. Right? So it's clearly something which was belonged to the women. But why was it important that the mirrors of the women, they came to daven, and in Pasha they weren't wearing tefillin? Okay. So Rav Hirsch introduces an idea. Okay. To carry out an idea in material which is appropriate to that idea is expressed in the language of also bit. He made with it. Right? That language, Rav Hirsch understands, means when you do something, when I want to do X and I use vehicle Y to accomplish X, there's going to be some type of relationship, whether that's a logical connection. When I use the language of also bit. Vayas bi maris and tzavis. He made the kir and the kan with the maris and tzavis. He made it with them. That's something where there'd be a logical idea why you would make it with them. Okay, so he gives an example. Lashem Hashavas lasois bazahov. He was made with gold. Right now, so that there's then, so that when here it says vayas a kir bimaris. The shape and nature of the materials out of which the kir was made are designated as being important as the actual raw material itself, the idea of which the kir was to symbolize. So besides the fact that they're copper, which is the proper metal to use, the fact that they were maros, hatsoivos, also makes them appropriate and proper to use for this purpose. Now, it's deeply significant that the vessel of the sanctuary, which would represent the moral keeping holy of one's acts and efforts, kiddush adar maglayim. So the idea of kiddush, you're making yourself holy. Adar maglayim represents the sphere of human effort, is expressed by Chazal in adar maglayim. For example, that the morale says in tefillah, we put our feet together to indicate we're not going anywhere. Because part of a man's dominion is shown over the world by the fact that he goes. We clasp our hands together. Allah puts to clasp our hands together to show that we cannot do anything. Because a man's dominion over the world is expressed with his hands. I go where I want and I do what I want. And Shabbos, we are basically adjourned not to go. We have a limit where we can go and we limit what we do. So somewhere else says that really tefillah is a mini Shabbos concept. For that period of those moments, we're no longer going wherever we want, we're no longer doing whatever we want. Because man's dominion is expressed over the world by our hands control the world and our feet allow us to go wherever we want and take dominion of the world. So during tefillah, we give it back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Yadayim Reglayim represents the person's dominion over the world. Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim represents the idea of we're going to consecrate that and give that to Kodesh Baruch Hu instead of saying take it for ourselves, we're going to do that. So the moral keeping only of one's acts and efforts is Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim. Was made out of women's mirrors. So what's the connection? Mirrors are articles which lay stress on the physical body appearance of people being an object of special consideration. Mirrors are because we take the body to be significant. The beauty of the body, etc. So I'm going to take that idea and consecrate that to the Mikdash. So now, I'm not going to take the idea that beauty is not important because then I wouldn't use the mirror. But rather, I'm going to take that idea and make that holy. How is that? So that it's shown that the physical central side of human beings is not merely not excluded from the sphere which is to be sanctified by the mikdash, but that is the first and most essential object of the sanctification. The first in the current day when he walked into the mikdash was Kiddush Adar Maglayim. That was the first step of every avoda. Every avoda started with using the mirrors. I mean, everybody started with the idea of, yes, there is beauty out there. Yes, you are central. Yes, you are physical. And that is not a stereotype. Matter of fact, that's something which can be, as it were, brought into the sphere of Mikdash.
You mean using the mirrors that were made for the basins? Or you mean using the mirrors?
Just opening in general.
We're going to use this kior, this large washing basin, okay? Pictures of a basin a little bit different than what it looks like, actually. So like Russia, it was a very large container. It's a very large water, rain barrel, made out of which a large, it wasn't rain, say, but there was a whole lot large amount of water, and there were spigots in it, and they would wash their hands out of it, well, hands and feet out of it. So after that rock bottom, as a man has complete free will of, in moral matters, it is just this side of human nature which is necessary to come under the influence of the Mikdash. If the sanctification of life, which is aimed at, is to be achieved. Our goal is not to say, I pretend I don't have that part of my being. Our goal is not to pretend that part of being exists. I mean, Judaism doesn't have a dichotomy where, like, part of our lives has no element of sanctification to it. You know, you have on your Sabbath day, you know, so you're in the place of tefillah, you're nice to your God, and the rest of the week you do whatever you want. We don't believe in that, right? We believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu pervades everywhere. So the going into Mikdash, which is this idea of us stepping into, bring ourselves into a world of that we're committing all of our being to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not ignoring part of our being. It's going to backfire. We're taking that with us and giving it to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we walk in and say, Rebbe Hashem, yes, I enjoy beauty. Yes, beauty is important to me. Yes, I have a physical sense of beauty. Yes, I have physical desires. And I can find a way to use those to serve you as well. This is actually the key emergence of some of the laws of Saita. The wording marshals can also mean that the parameters were not melted down. The key was made of the mirrors, fitted together, almost without any alteration at all. So it was recognizable the basin consisted actually of mirrors. Okay. Now, although in general, Kli Mikdash should not be used for Malachus Gavoya in an unchanged form, here, on account of the profound moral idea which would be expressed, an exception would have been made. Let me send you to an Eliyahu Rabbah. So, this is what Rav Hirsch is saying, that he sees that Adarabba, it was Badafka made in such a way that the message was very clear. These are mirrors. These were used for physical desire. And you could take your physical desire and find a way to sublimate that into not to pretend it doesn't exist, not to ignore it, but to sublimate it into service of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. Skip to the last page. And let's see if we can... If I'm overstepping my bounds a little bit. Okay. Some more over here goes to the whole story about the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara is going to be destroyed. Yetzer Hara has many different names. Tel Rabbanan, so it's in the third wide line at the bottom. So Rashi says, I'm going to take that this hidden being inside of you, the Yetzer Hara, I'm going to remove him from you. And we're going to send them away. Fine, etc. Now, he destroyed the first space of Mikdash. He doesn't go after the goyim; he goes after the yidden. His biggest desire is to be machshel atamachacha. The verse is the following story: Shami lahu gavra the kamar lahayitza. Abaya overheard a man saying to a woman, "Nakdim and Ezel Burcha, let's go early and go travel together." Amar Abaya said to himself, "Ezel afreshinu miisura." He assumed that they were traveling together to do something improper, inappropriate. So I'm going to follow after them to prevent them from doing something improper. Also, Basrayo, plus a Parsi, Ba'agma. He traveled them through a long distance, through difficult terrain. Keparshi Medori, Shemino de Kamrin, Urcha Rechika, Mitzavsin, Pisima. It was a nice trip. It was a long trip, pleasant company. Okay. Amrabaya iman the sunny li hava lo havi motzi luk min avshe. So the Morris says, the Rabbi said, he's talking about himself, he's saying that the one that I don't like, sometimes I get frustrated with myself. If I would have been there, I would not have controlled myself. in regards to interacting with this woman improperly. Moore says that also, he was so overwhelmed by this emotion of feeling distraught that this fellow seemed to be much more in control of his desires than Abaya says he would have been. He was leaning against the door, against the doorpost. Mutzdayer, also a Saba, so came along this elderly person, Tanalei, called Golo Mechaber, Yitzhar Golo Haimed. It says, you know, yeah, the Yitzhahara goes after you more than anybody else because of your godliness. Now, just try and get the picture of the Gemara, right? There's Gemara like this in other places. The Gemara says a story with the Rambam Chassida that he was he had turned this desire for a woman. The Gemara goes of etc. The way I understand the Gemara is that our picture of Abaya, that Abaya looks something along the lines of Ramosha Feinstein,
right?
You know, this tremendous tzaddik type, etc. And like the whole Gemara doesn't make any sense. You know, except for like, you know, there's this Ma'alach out there which is going after, called the Yetzirah, which is going after Abaya. It seems that the Gemara is saying something else totally. There's another Gemara about Abaya. The Gemara says Abaya says that it's a really weird Gemara. I don't get into the details of the Gemara, but the Gemara spoke about Abaya, that Abaya was a person who had tremendous ability for desire. So there's a fascinating, Revolver brings a fascinating Yerushalmi. That the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah davened the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you know they're at the cusp of rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash, and they realized that if the Yetzirah was able of Avodah Zarah was able to undermine Klal Yisrael and Bayis Rishon, why should we believe it's going to be any better in Bayis Sheni? So they davened the Kadosh Baruch Hu to eradicate the Yetzirah of there was a special Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. He's eradicated. Fine. They said, "Okay, wow, you know, it's a shot. It's now is a period of time where Kadosh Baruch Hu is listening to our tefillahs. Let's eradicate the Yetzirah of Arayas." Okay. So Morris says that they did that. So the Balbi said they did that, and they couldn't find a fertilized egg in Eretz Yisrael, fertilized chicken egg in Eretz Yisrael. The Yerushalmi says the Zohar says that they didn't draw learning anymore. The Chavis of the Shmaitza was gone. The Geshmak of learning was missing. So, what's the point of saying is that the we spoke about the deal, you know, we spoke about this last week, the Deh of Das is the Deh of Chibur. The real geschmack of learning is it's improper to think that the excitement of learning is, you know, that's the intellectual pursuit of learning. That's a mistake. So, you know, we can study math, you know, I love math. Problems. I love Sudoku. I love, you know, chess, right? So it's fascinating, right? So that's learning. Learning is, which that I'm not saying that that's not true. It is, right? Your physicist, you know, was looking for the understanding of the principles, how the universe works, sees a beauty there. So we see a beauty in understanding. It's more than that. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for Emes of Torah. Right. And we're looking that the Torah should become part of our being. We want to connect. The ability to connect is the kach of the Yetzirah of connecting. The root of that is the kach to connect. Abaya was blessed with a tremendous ability to connect. Abaya says if it would be misdirected at any moment, he's in danger of falling under the kach of the Yetzirah. Abaya made your Frenchman look like a has-been. You know, he was a passionate lover. He had a tremendous craft to take that passion of love and use it for Torah. But Abaya says at any moment it would be misdirected. You know, he could be overcome and taken a different direction. But to think that there isn't a positive value for this kayak of desire which exists in the human being is a mistake. So, the goal is to take that and use that in a positive way. So that's, you know, that's sublimating it totally. But what about even in a physical sense? Is there a way to sublimate it in a physical sense? So that's what Rashi is saying. This woman went and took physical desire and used it as a vehicle to generate, you know, a way to, they saw a vision of eternity. They understood it's their responsibility to generate the eternity. They understood that the Baruch Hu put a kayak of desire which exists, and they're going to use that to help people rise above the moment and use that as a vehicle to generate eternity. That's Mikdash. Mikdash is, we spoke about it a few times, Mikdash is a very physical existence. Shabbos is a very physical day. Our most holy day is so physical. Right? So, at first glance, it seems to be illogical. Our understanding of Kedusha is asceticism. And that's a total mistake. Shabbos is a day of Onik Shabbos. And matter of fact, Onik Shabbos is not limited to Achila. Onis Tamachochim is Leli Shabbos. Part of the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos is to have Onik, right, in a physical sense. The Russian made us as human beings with bodies. To pretend that we're not bodies is wrong. That the Hirsch is saying that the goal over here is to bring it into Mikdash, not to leave it outside. I went to Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. He asked the kasha, this is more in Kedushin. The more says in Pogabach Manubal Zeh Mashkele Besemedrish. If you meet the Manubal, the Yetzirahara, Manubal, this like low life. This crass being called the Yetzirah, schlep him to Beis Medrash. He says, I have a better deal, leave him outside. Why schlep him to Beis Medrash? why do you want him to Beis Medrash? He says, if you think you can leave the Yetzirah outside of the Beis Medrash, you're a fool. The Yetzirah comes with. There's a saying that one time they said, you know, with one of the Galvasita said a cute story. He says, you know, like one day he was learning Beis Medrash. He looks up and his Yetzirah is with him. He says, you're here also. He says, who do you think slept you in the base of marriage, buddy? one time the Skaribah said, he says, the Yitzhar, by the Chassidim, they call the Yitzhar the Baldover. He says, the Baldover doesn't need a passport to come to the square. He lives there. You know, like, you know, he's a Toshev. You know, to fool ourselves that we're overcoming Yitzhar, we're overpowering Yitzhar, we're leaving Yitzhar behind, is foolish. But what we can do is recognize Arab, like say Yetzirah, no, come along and see what we can do with you in a positive way. That seems to be round one over here. Okay, that's round one. Let's go to all the way to the back. To Revolver. Mitzvah Sheni. It's like. So, it doesn't have a page number on it, but based on. That's the next page is page Mem, so this will be page Lama Tess. What? It's a Chelik Aleph, actually. Okay, Mitzvah Sheni. The second, so this is in Alishur Chelik Aleph. He has three letters which deal with definitions that, you know, people, as they approach their process of Avodas Hashem, grapple with. The first one is jealousy, a common issue that, you know, you have, especially with Bochur and Yeshiva, they're constantly with other people. And part of jealousy is that, you know, they see everybody else being more successful than themselves, and they see their limitations. So how do you deal with that emotion? Rav Chas Levenstein says it in the following way. He says that the Ben Yonah says, there's something called Katsoni Hashem. What's Katsoni Hashem? The group of people which hate Hashem. It says you're sitting on, you know, doing about Hashem. You see somebody doing about Hashem better than you, and you're upset at that. So it means you hate Hashem. Because you love Hashem, you'd be so happy somebody's serving Hashem. Right? So Katsoni Hashem doesn't have a chet kolam hab. Great. So Katsoni is like this. If you sit in Meis Medrash and you're not jealous of the guy next to you that he's doing better than you, so you're a nobody. Because if it would be important to you, you'd be jealous. So you're not jealous, it's a raya that it's not important to you. So you forget it, for sure not a better olam haba. If you're jealous, you're also not a better olam haba. Now what do you do, right? That's musa, that's great. Like, you know, you can't win, either way, you're darned, whatever. Right? You know, so the point is you have to understand that it's important to you and the natural inclination to be jealous, and then you have to learn how to deal with that. You shouldn't be jealous. But if I see a fellow, you know, I pass by and I see these guys, you know, they're such phenomenal gardeners, ex-convaldic, they know exactly what they're doing. Just doesn't excite me. Like, okay, I'm happy, they'd be good. Like, I'm not jealous of it, because I never find myself to be a phenomenal gardener. Right? You know, that's not any way which I, but, you know, if it doesn't bother me at all, it's a ride that's not important to me. So that's the first letter. The second letter deals with the issue of type. But it deals with, you know, this is, you know, how do you deal with this issue that a person has desire? So he starts off with a piece from the Talmud Devar, from the Ramak. The Ramak is, you know, is one of the our biggest gedolim which we have in the world of Kabbalah. Okay. V'heich yargal adam atzav b'midas ha'gvur. So Hashem has different midas how he runs the world, and each person, as being in some way a tzelem elokim, has those abilities. Da ki kol pulus ha'yisaros ha'yetzer hara. Now he's going to say at the end, we're not going to say exactly everything that he's saying. It's a Kabbalistic piece. We're going to glean some ideas from it. So if we get stuck on something like that. Yetzirah comes from the side of Din. He comes from the very creator world of Din. Of Gevura, Din. So when every time a person would in any way would arouse Yetzirah, he's arousing Din. Now, you don't want to arouse din. It's not a good idea to arouse Hashem's din. You shouldn't like to start and awaken the Yetzer Hara, not to awaken din. But Tam Shalom Noitzer B'Shnei Yetzirus. Yetzer HaTov Yetzer Hara. Zeh Chesed B'Zeh Gevura. And that's why we are created with two Yetzers. One is the Yetzer HaTov, it's part of from the side of Chesed, and Yetzer Hara is on the side of din. Now, it's up to the Yitzhar, has no function. The person created the Yitzhar, the Tzarech Ishtai, for your wife. Okay, what does it mean? You can roi shal Yitzhar, Yitzhar, the Telazat. So you shouldn't arouse the Yitzhar for your own purposes. We can't hear a common Maguna cast, we call Kyotzeboy, Shumagri, Hagwur, Sakoshis. Anger is part of the meter of din. Only it's a rod tzarech lios kosher v'ovul v'aser. You need to keep it controlled. L'mul di yisar l'shum pula ba'olam mipulas gufay. L'lecham et biyah v'lechem this moment l'letzad kas v'letzad kavod klal. You shouldn't use the yitzhar to rouse for your purposes, your needs. Omlam l'tzarech isha yar yitzar benachlis. Gently be married to girl habisha l'sakim l'bayis. She should look beautiful. She should have a nice house. Remember, that I'm using the Baruch Hashem Yetzer. I have this. I appreciate beauty. My wife would appreciate that I should make her look beautiful. She would appreciate that. So I'm going to buy her nice clothes. I'm going to make her a nice house. My wife would appreciate that. So Russia created the Yetzer Hara because Russia wants us to have this ability to have a connection to the physical world. And if we use that to help others in their inclination towards that, what we're doing is finding a way to use this part of Russia's Hanhag of the Bria in a positive way. We are therefore being Masak in the Shekhinah. We are helping the Shekhinah, the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world. There's a year of Chol Minei Chemda Haboy Meitzar Yitzara Yeikram Letzkuna Heisha Shechiach LaHashem Leizer Kenegdoi Yehava Kula Machar Kach LaBaris Hashem.
Okay. Ask a question.
Yes.
So since you were saying we should use the Yitzara, which would satisfy these, I guess, physical worldly pleasures, because that's what his wife would want, which would then cause some type of shalom bias out of that. And that's where we're using the Yetzer Hara in that particular case? Did I understand that properly, the way we're
Okay, so I'm thinking. I want to think of one point over here. The point he's saying is that number one is that the Rosh Hashanah created this for a positive function. It's not just there for as a negative function. And that positive function, when it's used properly, has a significant purpose in this world, and it's not there just to destroy it. Right? So the example which he gives over here is a person can take these things and use them. Rishon Lezion one time said, somebody else's Olam Haza is my Olam Haba. I don't necessarily have a desire for this world, but I understand there's people out there which are not a Madrigo where I'm at, and they appreciate this world. And every time I help them get that and give that to him, I'm doing chesed. I'm helping somebody. So helping this person have a nice meal, to me, seems to be like I could argue, listen, I'm an ascetic, and meals are stupid. Let's get it straight, So you want chesed? I have no problem. I'm willing to provide you all of your needs. I eat 7 slices of bread a week, 1 per day, and 2 extra on Shabbos. Right? I measure them. It's a kebaya because I have to be able to bench. And I drink 17 ounces of liquid a day, and that's what I'm going to give you also. That's my chesed to you. I'm such a tzaddik. I share I'm ready. I share equally with everybody. That's not called chesed. It means that the guy next to you, Chazal say, the person is accustomed to have a golem futamis and all those things. You got to provide it for him. The Mor says that the Rav asked him, one time he asked the person, aren't you overburdening the tzibur by doing this? He says, it belongs to the tzibur, it belongs to Hashem. Right? Hashem can give me whatever, if that's what I'm used to, this is, I have a right to expect that. This is what the Mor says. And right then, there's a knock on the door, and Rav's sister, who he hadn't seen in 13 years, knocks on the door. She says, I was so excited to see you. I brought you some Golem of Futamis, right? Exactly the type of food that this fellow says he does, and some old wine. He says, I like old wine, the fellow tells Rav. I like old wine and stuffed geese. She knocks on the door with a bottle of old wine and some stuffed geese. She says, okay, fine. I give in. You're right, Mor Ksuvus. So Rav says, what do you mean? Ridiculous. Well, what did Rav live on? Rav lived on,
7 pieces of bread.
7 pieces of bread. So that's chesed. That's not chesed. But the problem is, I lost my appreciation of what that is. No. I understand. I have desires. I have taiva. I don't lose sight of what that means. But I'm using that instead of using it to adorn myself. Is to appreciate other people's needs and use it to adorn them. So I'm finding a way to use that positive. I would enjoy having a phenomenal meal by this fancy restaurant, but I'm not. But I decided it's not. I don't want to do that. But I appreciate the emotion and the feeling and the desire. So now that I do that, I can then give it to somebody else and with an understanding. That's the way he's suggesting, right? Wow. And he goes further, talks about, the person does have physical needs, etc. I don't want to take out exactly his formula, but the concept that there are ways to appreciate desire, have desire, and use that in a very positive way, but as opposed to just shutting it down, the result is I look at the world like they're crazy. And I just and the person comes along and tells me, I need a chaver and kerbal. Like, he says, listen, I need a fancy car. I need a comfortable ride. I don't mind driving an old one, but I need a comfortable ride. So I only drive Cadillac. I'm willing to drive a 1970 Cadillac. Even though it's 1990, it's 89. It's 19 years old, but it's a soft. I need a soft car. I don't enjoy bumpy rides. Okay. So I said, listen, once upon a time they rode in water wagons with no chucks, no chucks or bridges. You know what it felt like? Like, what's your problem? Like, you cannot get past that. You ever rode on a horse? You need a Cadillac. I said, okay, he needs a Cadillac. That's his. I can't recall the times I rode on a wagon once in my life, I went for these cherry picking they took out to the field in the back of a tractor on this wagon going over the field. It's great. It's very good for the Zev Zalman told me he went to Uman, So he has one thing that's called a Fitbit. So Fitbit, you know, Fitbit, you know, it picks up motion, movement. So he says they fly into Kiev and then they go out to Uman. So it's like the middle of nowhere. I don't know where it is exactly. So they went to pick up trucks. I want to describe to you what the roads of Ukraine are like. He says, by the time I got from Kiev to Uman, I had 16,000 steps by sitting in a truck. That's what the roads are like. It's such a mess. The whole way, 16,000 steps. You know, it's good for your heart. You know, you need a Cadillac. You know, okay. So I have to learn to be. I don't appreciate a soft ride. You see, you know, I appreciate a soft ride. So it's like, I punch and eradicate any such desire in my life. So the guy says, you know, I'm collecting money. I want to buy a 1970 Cadillac. I said, listen, buddy, why don't you buy a 1970 Chevy instead? Right? No, he needs a Cadillac. He's right to say he needs a Cadillac. I have to appreciate that. That's what Revolver said. Okay. That's approach number one. Comes along the Targum. The Targum says, it's not the women, it's not talking about, it's not talking about specifically about this process Rashi's talking about for they're very physical, Maisa, etc. It's talking about the woman came to daven. Okay? So Zati Ibn Ezra, Matamat Soivis, Kimishra called Noshim Nisiapis, Liris Panayim, called Liker, Mimaras at Nechoshis, Osluchis. Every woman, every morning, she checks in the mirror. It can be copper ones, it can be glass ones, Asakan, Hapeirim, Shal Rashayim, to adjust their tickle. Hemini's Kermit, Sefer Yeshaya, and all of the different types of adornments, which Sefer Yeshaya makes a list of all the women's different types of jewelry. Kiminig Yisrael Hay, Kiminig Yishmael Ariyim. They, you know, women dress nicely. V'nei Hayyubi Yisrael Nashim, Ovdus Hashem. Shasar me Taivis Zeholim. They said, yeah, Taivis Zeholim is ridiculous. V'nasim Arisayim Ladova. They came, you know what? Here, I'm taking my desire, which is expressed in my mirror. Rashi, here, it's yours. Kaylam Tsarach Adlis Yapas. We don't need to look fancy anymore. These women became base medrashnik. You know, Roshim, here we're taking the mirrors, they're yours, we throw them out, we don't need any more. We come, we daven three times a day, we sit and learn Torah, we're tzaddikim, tzidkoniers. Right? That's shot in Maris and Sovashir Pezah. Okay? And that lachar would be the Targum that Dasan Litzal is the woman who came to daven. If you look at the I put in the Targum Yodosim on the next page. So I actually, this is actually a English, excuse me, in English, a Hebrew translation of the Aramaic Targum Yodosim. So I figured just save us a step anyway. Also, I couldn't find a nice print of the Aramaic one. We asked the Kirin Nechosh, the Kanon Nechosh, the Mamaros and Nechosh, the Noshim, Hatsnois, Kasherbo, the Spalo, the Pesach Almoyed, Omdo, Karbon, Tirufosam, Vishim Chubahidu, Vishobal of Leyam, Vyodos, Bonim Stikim, Kasher, Mitaris, Mitumas, Doma. So they come to the Mikdash, they would daven, and they would be, I mean, come on, and they would go home, and they would, so he understands, like we said, Soba means creating hosts, creating generations. But there was it was an expression of the act of coming to the Mikdash and davening, and they would praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that would then they would go home and they would create, so it's somewhere in the middle, right? But it seems to be focusing on the idea is that they're coming here.
So, but in this shot, they're not giving their mirrors there in this shot. What
we're saying here? I'm assuming he understands mirrors somewhere along the way.
That they are giving
them.
That's what they're giving.
Maris Achash Shalom Noshim Atznois. Right. That means they dropped them off. I was once in. There's a shul in New York, Shomer Shabbos Bar Park, 53rd and 13th Street. You know, it's like the Minion Factory. There's always interesting bachur in the yeshiva. That's not true. In the old days, there was really interesting bachur here in the yeshiva. So one bachur told me one time, he wanted to daven Marav, and he missed Marav in Yeshiva. So he got in a car and he drove to Shomer Shabbos. He drove to Bar Park and caught it like at 3:30 in the morning. Marav, And he came back. That's Shomer Shabbos. Shomer Shabbos is like, if anybody's word you can catch at 3:30 in the morning, Maariv, it's Shomer Shabbos. Zikra Moshe in Yerushalayim, and Shomer Shabbos. So Shomer Shabbos had a Rav, actually now his son is a Rav, Rav Turnow. Rav Turnow was a Goyin Adir. Goyin Adir. And that was his Rabbanus, you know. He said he was a Rebbe in a yeshiva somewhere, and he would say Shurim there, and he would say Shabbos. There was a regular minyan there, like a normal shul with the Rav, with the drasha, etc. So he was once there for Shabbos Agado drasha. It was in Yiddish, I'm saying, but he was there for Shabbos Agado drasha. So somewhere along the way, this is back in the seventies, you know, kids are. So he offered everybody. He says, "Is any person who wants, you know, he went through the luchos." It's interesting, because Shabbos, the first thing he went through practical love was Lamaisa. People need to know for Pesach. Then he said a pilpul for a few minutes, and then he said Musr. Then he said, by the way, he said, you know, I don't want to point out, you know, that we're eradicating Chometz. Chometz means like the Yetzirah, we have to eradicate everything. He says, everybody has to throw out their televisions. We should burn them with the Chometz. He said, if you have problem, any problems, don't worry, I will do it for you. You know, call me after Shabbos, I will come to your house. And I'll take the television and we'll throw it and we'll burn it together with the chametz. We'll use it as the part of the fuel for the fire.
This is in the 70s?
This is in the 70s.
Those are big TVs.
Yeah, those big TVs. Yeah, it was a good old day. Yeah, they're burning geschmack, you know. Right? Right? So this is it. You know, you take the mirrors and you throw them into the fire, This is it.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. The Sepurno comes along. It seems to follow the footsteps of the Ibn Ezra. Shetzava Pesach Olamoyed. Lishmar Dirilakim Chayim. They came together to hear the words of Hashem. They found their adornments, Mias. They dropped it off because we don't need this stuff anymore. Okay. So that's it. So it's a fascinating machloikus, or if you want to call it that. Okay.
If Rav Hirsch wrote this, it might not have gone over as well.
What?
If Rav Hirsch would have wrote this, it might not have gone over as well.
Rav Hirsch didn't shterzach to write whatever he believed in. You know, that was one thing about Rav Hirsch. If he believed in it, he would have written it to him. Okay. The Ramban brings Rashi. And he says, you have to understand this, exactly, you know, we know that we mentioned before, other types of tashitim the women dropped off, and some of them were used for very physical elements. So over there, they were melted down, they're mixed with everything else. But over here, this was kept specifically unique, and etc. That's what Rashi's bothered by. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was uncomfortable with this. And that's why he needed a special... Comes along the Moshe's Canaan. It has one of the versions of the Bali Tosis, and it has a third approach. V'yeshev ordin l'kach naso kiyar mimarvus l'fisha koyin hamakiv etz a karbonah shal isha yitzarek l'kiv l'shmo the loch is a korban has to be brought with intent for the owner. V'ashel istakel b'vanav, but the koyin can't look at the woman. Kach naso kiyar k'moy mara hanoshim. Kumay Mara, therefore the kiyar was made polished to the point that it was a mirror. Hanoshim oimnus etzel kiyar, the woman would stand there. When Mitzakela's boy, she would look at the kiyar. The kain misakel b'kiyar umakira. The kain wouldn't look at her directly. He'd see her picture in the mirror, and he'd know which woman it is. And he had mimakel the korban with her in mind. Then he says in another shot. So the Baal Tos in another version has it that women did not come you had the Hechel, you had the Mizbeach, you had the Kir moved over a little bit to the side. This is all in the area which is called the Ezra's Kahanim. Then you have Ezra's Israel, and then you would have the Ezra's Noshim.
Yeah.
So the women did not go in that far, but that, yeah, but they would actually be able to see her from a distance being reflected in the kier. Okay. Then he suggests another, the reason why the kier is off to the side is because the Yisraelim would be able to actually see the Kahanim do the void inside of the Kurdish, etc. And they'd be able to appreciate and feel that they're there, because they weren't allowed to go so close. They'd be able to use the mirror to be able to see around the corner and see what's going on. Okay, so now, the next piece over here is a piece from Rapintus, which he grapples with. I mean, a man, if we're dealing with the issue of a man being mistaken, a woman, because we're concerned about his desire being aroused, looking at a woman's picture, a picture of a woman, can also arouse a man. So what does it help looking at the mirror? The Kahanim didn't look at the woman, they looked at the mirror, the picture of the woman in the mirror. Right? And it was a very sharp mirror. This one was very clear. He knew exactly what he was seeing. Okay, so you're back to square one. What did you accomplish? So he suggests this shot like this. I'm not going to do it inside. Just a time restraint. Rishon says there are two. You see in Chazal there are two different Yetzirahs. There's Yetzirah which acts. There's a Malach. There's a creation which I'm called the Yetzirah. It's a Malach. There also is the physical desires of man, also function as a Yetzirah. Both, Chazal used that language referring to both the Yetzirah, both exist, and you have to figure out each time when Chazal referred to, what are they referring to? Referring to the Malach or referring to the physical nature of man? He says, it's possible that for a person through a process of working upon himself, etc., to overcome his base desires and not have the Yetzer Hara affect him that way, he's still not guaranteed against the Malach. The Malach is a whole different ballgame. And that's the more in Sukkah, which the more is saying over here that the Yetzer Hara goes after the Talmud Chacham. It's not referring to the Talmud Chacham has physical desires, and that's his issue. He overcame that. It's the Malach. Because the Malach, if in hunting you want to bag the big prize, right? You go in the modern version of hunting, in those claw things when you pick, you don't want to walk away with it. It's a modern version of hunting, right? You don't want to get a half pound fish, right,
Sammy?
Right, you want to come, with this 200-pound marlin, that's the picture you put up in the boathouse, right? Right. See, the answer says, yeah, I bagged, I was really had a good day today. I bagged, Bob the Goy in the saloon, it's her says, well, I had a good day today, He says, I bagged the Talmud Chacham. Oh.
On his way to Shir, right?
Right, that's what you want to, that koyach, the Yitzhar has, that he needs a physical woman for that. That's what he wants to suggest. The picture doesn't have that same koyach. The base desires of man, the picture will affect him as well. A person who's overcame that, that's what he suggests to take shot in this Moshe's Kenim. So that's like, but that gets us back to our question. So, how are we supposed to look at Abaya? So he's saying a whole different ballgame. Of course, Abaya overcame his base instincts. He didn't have physical desire, but there still is the concern that the Yetzer Hara can affect a person. Okay. Remarks to something like this. Mayas is a kier. Near the kier, Nasa Mimaras, and Service, Larak Mishil, May Sentish, Bishrashi, Shizay, Epshish, Lyra, Lelam, and Sincel, Snuois, Mimira, who Dark Palm, and Rechaikim, I will haul Kalaboyd, I tell the Bekir, Lashir, Mavaz. The kier is very important. It was everything needs the kier. The kier was the catalyst for everything. You could use a pitcher. I'm not sure what it means. The rav b'chol shonoyer make kier. The majority of the use is always from the kir. V'mishum shemalas malas etzavas mishum shayis kavanosim rakla shem mitzvah laharbas tzivas yisrael. The women did it because they wanted to make sure that there was kol yisrael. The men had lost all interest. They were just, they were basically depressed. The Amram also was giving up. The Galdor was giving up. The Mershon said, no, we have to do it with ours, the Mershon will make Nisim. That's the thought process the Kohen needs when he walks into the Beis HaMikdash. That the Bershom has a desire for Klal Yisrael. What's going to be? I don't know. That's not my job. I don't have to work. We need to build. That's what your job is, Kohen. Do as best as you can that Klal Yisrael should be successful. What will be the Rashi's Cheshbonos and how it's going to work out? The situation is horrible out there. That's not your Cheshbonos. Shechein some of Avoda Birchas Kahanim, and that's why Birchas Kahanim immediately comes after the Avoda. And there's a story. There's a woman, Pearl Benish, which just passed away last week. Have you ever heard of her? Pearl Benish? Pearl Benish was a Talmid of Sarah Shneer. So she's one of the women who learned by Sarah Schneer. You know, she learned by her. You know, she was 100 years old. She just passed away last week. She wrote a book which is. She wrote a book about Sarah Schneer, which is a beautiful book. Carry me in your heart, something like that. She also wrote a book called To Vanquish the Dragon. It's, if you want to read a book to read on Tisha B'Av, you read that book. It's Poland had, out of all of the countries in Europe, Poland had it the worst during the war. Because the Germans invaded in 1939 and left in 1945. The Russians came into Poland in January of 1945. The Germans invaded Poland in September 1939. So for 5.5 years, they were under the German, totally under the German control. And there was no journalists over there, you know, making sure that, you know, publicizing what was going on. Almost all of the concentration camps were in Germany. Were in Poland, right? Right. She was one of a group of Beis Yaakov girls who basically went through the whole war under the Germans and stayed mitzvahs, Torah. And the stories over there, they describe the mysterious efforts they had for people in, like, going and saving people's lives in Auschwitz. Like, putting their own life in danger to save somebody else. Just mind-boggling stories. The point where she's saying, you know, that the goy is the goy, and their attitude is that attitude, but the training which we had from, you know, our Kedusha, which we got from Sarah Schneer, was that you do it for Klai. So she writes one story over there about a couple which got married in the ghetto. A young couple gets married in the ghetto in 1943, and they have a baby. And everybody looks like you're out of your mind. He says, no, this is how we are responding to the Germans. This is our response. We know our job is to move forward. Russian is going to take care of Klai Yisrael. Whether Russian will save the Shana, I don't know. But that's my message is, I know the Russian will take care of Klai Yisrael. And I'm going to do whatever it's going to take. That's what the husband and wife responded. There's a tremendous gevura to picture that. Because they know they're bringing a child in the world which they're going to love, which very good chance is going to be killed. But that's not. We need to move forward. We need to build lives. That's how Rosh sees. That's how the Kohen walks into the Beis HaMikdash every day. That's the first thing he sees. He sees that attitude. So that's the Nekudah he talks about. The next two pieces. Let's see, it's late. This is a piece from a Sefer Oitzer Sator. Oitzer Sator is from a person named Rav Suriel. Rav Suriel was the Mashgiach in Shalavim Yeshiva. He's still alive, couldn't hurt. He's retired now from Shalavim. He writes for him. He has, if not a photographic memory, very close to it. So, like, his field of endeavor is the world of Machshava, Hashkafa, etc. So he has met multiple Svarim he's put out where, like, you know, he can bring to bear on any, you know, topic that you want, like, you know, any Sefer that you can think of. It's just, like, mind-boggling to read it. Like, just throws. So we have, like, and he has a very clear mind also. It's like he has a Sefer called Oitzer's Gedolei Yisrael. So he has, he took Rav Hirsch on, let's say, on 50 topics and gathered all the places Rav Hirsch talks about them and categorized them. Then he does the same thing with the Malbim, the same thing with the Marau, the same thing with the Groh, the same thing with the Netziv, and the same thing with the, and he does it. This
all here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he has it all. He's all organized, and then he writes a Sefer and he publishes it. And then, okay, see, so has Oitzer Zatara. So in this piece of Oitzer Zatara, he quotes him. He quotes him a Medrash Rabba.
So his Oitzer Zatara are all the different topics of the different Gedolei that he's put together. And
so that's a different statement. This is Oitzer Zatara on the Parsha. He has like different topics, like Shmuz, that he said basically. Okay. You see, like a Shmuz, like you see what he would throw in a Shmuz. You know? Okay, so. There's Gehenna and the Shiva Malchus, and there's Matatara and the Beis Hamikdash. So, how do these two respond to those two? Meram of Arasinian. Durakal Tikun Lev Umoyah. There's two parts of the being which have to be corrected. There's the moyach and there's the lev. Yushalayim b'emsa olam k'moshal lev b'emsa aguf. Yushalayim represents the lev. Avol Torah b'roshom nimsa haseich aloki. And the Torah, so mikdash Yushalayim is to address the lev, and matan Torah is to address the moyach. Then he says b'zeh on mavinim as a matzaboy. Machus Yehuda, Machus Sarsa Shvatim, Machus Yehuda is Negar Rosh. Yehuda Shalach of Goshna, Liftach Besamedish. Machus Yosef Knegar Alev, is Mashbel Chaloma Oritz, which is that's the story that supplies everything. And they're going to come together, the Rosh Alev will come together. Besamit Shoybert Israel, Vayere Ator Shemigia Alam Elyun, Yesh Alam Sulam Lagia Lamali Minashima. This is how we're going to ascend from this world. Gehenna is the person is incorrect, and Malchus is the physical world around us, which is going to drag us down. That's the Marat. Okay. Their emotions, their desires. Moitzes makarma b'mikdash, that's the world of Lev. Okay. Diber ben over medizam is sepurna al taharas a seichel of his nasus minas chiflus a gerim makarma b'lima na tarab his bananas. Okay, so there was the idea of there's our physical emotions, our physical desires, and that has a place. That's the lave. That's the power of the source of passion, desire, which exists in the person, and that needs a way to be expressed in a proper way. And that function mikdash did for that. We would take the physical korban and express ourselves in a very physical way through the korban. Right, just like we're taking these physical desires and using them for a positive purpose. That's what Mikdash did for us. That's how to be Mesak in the lake. The Moyach, that we should be pulled to something greater and something higher and seek to see the world in a different view, that's really what he wants to suggest. That's what Ibn Ezra and Sephardim were seeing, that this element also, the Mikdash also represented what he spoke about, the place where Torah was understood properly. That's the Moyach element which is being expressed over here. Both are true. Then he brings the Rav Hirsch. He brings here's the Hebrew version of what we saw in the English. And he says at the end of the day, why did we get the Torah? Why did the Malachim get the Torah? Because we have a physical element. Do you have kino? Do you have yitzahara? So that's that there's two elements that both exist. That to pretend that we have one and not the other, we're not going to be successful. We need to, in some ways, arise above and don't define ourselves by our physical element. Let the mayach, which is above that, figure out what's and through the world of Liman HaTorah, Tfila, coming to hear the Dira L'Kim Chayim, like the Zipporna is saying, the Ebenezer is saying, etc. We need to, at the same time, understand that we have a physical element which exists for us, and we have to find a way to use that properly, and not to ignore that it doesn't exist. And the balance is saying that was Kleisel is told, that Morale says, that we're going to go through a Shibur Malchias, which means they're going to physically address our goof, which is not proper. There's going to be a punishment for the improper use of the goof. There's a mikdash, there's a lave, which is going to address that. We have Gehenna, as we have to, we take our neshama with us. We come to that world. It's been used. It's not. It's impure. We didn't fix the moyach, etc. The person. We have a Torah which will allow us to address this as well, and that's how he suggests to fit it back into the psukim. Everything fits. I don't know. But this is suggests that he wants to find some type of a tzad hashava and some emek hashava between the two. Between the two pshatim.